You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you so much for being here, and thanks for all of you guys continuing to make us bigger and better with spreading the word and letting people know about the podcast. It's just been incredible, and I know I have all of you to thank for that. And if you like the podcast and you enjoy what you're hearing, head over to iTunes and leave us a good review. That goes a long way into making sure more people hear about the Paranormal Portal. And if you have a story of your own and you'd like to share it and be a guest on the show, I'd love to hear from you. Just email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Again, that's paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. But we've got an epic episode for you guys today. This is one I'm really excited to get into and to dive in and explore. But our guest today is Mike, who is a former deputy sheriff and has been into logging and has a whole host of experiences to bring to the table today. So this is going to be quite a ride. So we're going to get into that right now. Welcome to the show, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me today, bud.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I really appreciate you making this work. I know it can be kind of tricky with schedules, and you of course have a nocturnal schedule, so that can be a little trickier. But I appreciate you making it work for us.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I just want to get the word out, and no problem.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I suppose probably, one of the best places to start is, how did this all begin for you?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a crazy, tricky subject. It started years ago, I'll tell you, my grandfather, he was a deputy sheriff. He was a deputy sheriff. He was law enforcement for 32 years.
Oh,
he started out with Redmond PD in Redmond, Oregon, and he worked for Pineville PD, and he was an Oregon State Trooper, and you know, he eventually ended up after 32 years with Deschutes County Sheriff's Office.
Oh, wow.
And when I was probably 12, 13 that summer, there was a murder that occurred in the Milliken store, and the owner, he was killed, and so my grandmother worked for the attorney that took care of the estate. And so he had her and my grandfather, they were both retired at the time. They had them go out there and stay at the Milliken store. And hell, I went out there and camped out with them and took care of things. And we got to be friends with the guy up at Pine Mountain Observatory. He was the guy that ran the observatory.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd come down and introduced himself, and he was in the metal detecting and everything else. And he asked my grandpa if I wanted, if I could go up there with him and I could go metal detecting and do all that kind of stuff. And well, grandpa, he pulled me off to the side. He said, "Hey, yeah, that's fine. You go up there with him, but you just keep your eyes peeled." And I said, "Okay, no problem." And I didn't really, and he was kind of concerned about it, you know, and no big deal. When I got back, we'd gone and had fun for the day. And when we got back, he said, "Michael," he said, "the reason I told you that is because, years ago when I was patrolling up here, I was heading up to Pine Mountain. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was headed up Pine Mountain Observatory, heading up the road. And I come around the corner and I slowed down and I looked, thought there was a bear in the road. And as I slowed down and tried to decide which way this thing was going to go, it stood up on two legs, looked at me, and took two strides, and it went right over the top of the guardrail on the other side, and it was gone. He said, "I stopped the choke car. I did my J-turn, and I went back down, and I never went back up."
Wow.
I says, "Oh, okay." You know, and I remember that story to this day. And so that's kind of where my epic quest for Mike began, you know, years ago, wondering what the hell's going on out there.
Right.
Throughout the years, I never expected to be a deputy sheriff. You know, my grandpa was in law enforcement. My dad was 27 years law enforcement. My brother's currently in law enforcement up in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I was accidental. I was a ranch hand and a logger. I joined the Marine Corps and gotten out of the Marine Corps and then went back to Wheeler County, Oregon. I love that place. It's just a little bitty community out in the middle of nowhere. And it's, you know, about an hour and a half east of Bend. And I never expected to be a cop. You know, everybody else was. I was out being the logger and the black sheep and doing stupid stuff. And I got a visit from the sheriff down in Twickenham one day, and that was at a ranch I was managing. And he says, "Hey, Mike," he says, "you mind if we burn? We've got a marijuana erad going up on the hill." And he said, "You mind if we bring that stuff down? I don't want to truck it all the way to town and get rid of it." And he says, "We're going to do everything we got to do. And you mind if we burn it down on the sandbar down by the river?" I was like, "Yeah, no problem."
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened. And then, you know, later on, the sheriff, "Hey, Mike, you want to be a reserve?" I'm like, "Sure." Or search and rescue is what he started. He wanted me to be on search and rescue and needed more people.
Oh, cool.
So I started out on search and rescue, and then became a reserve deputy. And then, of course, next thing you know, the sheriff, he resigned and had left. And Bob, a good friend of mine, he'd become the sheriff. And he was, "Hey, I need a deputy." So next thing you know, I was a full-time deputy sheriff.
Awesome.
It's just crazy how things happen, you know, in the life that you don't expect.
Sure.
But, you know, I in between all this time, there's been experiences where when I was, I was probably 20 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after I graduated high school. My best friend, he lived up there in Mitchell. And we, Bob, who ended up being my boss, he and his wife had owned the main store there in town, and we were dear friends, and they'd given us a key to the store. We could go in there to the store anytime we wanted. If we wanted to put some beer on our account, we'd write it down. If we wanted to rent a movie, we'd write it down. You know, we were just like family. You know,
oh,
just
nice.
Didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so one night, my buddy and I, my best friend, who's like my brother, we walked down from his place and we headed down to the store and opened up the door, and there was a bell on it. You open the door and ding-a-ling-a-ling, you know. And we go in the store, and we're picking our movies out and everything. All of a sudden, I hear a thud, and I turn around on the old hardwood floor in the store, and you got to imagine this store is just an old mercantile.
Oh.
It's exactly what you'd picture out of an old west, out of the old west. It's not a grocery store by any means. I mean, you just got the basic essentials in there, really.
Okay.
They did a pretty good job of keeping everything stocked for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I turn around. There's a cereal box on the floor. And it's in the main aisle. And all of a sudden, thunk, thunk, cereal boxes start flying off the shelf and landing on the floor.
Oh, my God.
And I hit the door. I still had my movie in my hand. I hit the door, and I hit the bell. I ran out the door. I turned around and looked, and Will, or excuse me, my best friend, he's looking around. Where the hell did he go? He noticed what was happening, and he beat me to the house by the time we got out of the store.
Yeah, that's
good. I mean, just crazy. Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, just
was it known
stuff like that.
Was it known to be haunted, or was that just a one-off deal?
Well, no, actually, now, you know, since then, yeah, it's well known to be haunted. The Oregon Hotel,
okay,
there in Mitchell, Oregon, and the Wheeler County Trading Post both have a lot of activity going on. I didn't know it at the time. I mean, even going through high school, we'd heard stories about it, you know, but we'd never, mm-hmm. you know, no big deal. We'd never experienced anything, and I didn't experience it until I was an adult, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
But, I guess, you know, I was telling you about last night, I told you about the 545,
yes,
the angel number.
Yep.
And so throughout, it's only happened since I met my wife, you know, and she's had crazy experiences, and we've both had crazy experiences together. And I guess the biggest experience, or the most, I don't know, even know how to explain it. I was patrolling one night in Wheeler County, and it had been a long night. And I like working graveyard. I like running over to Highway 26 and running traffic. And mm-hmm. you got to understand, Wheeler County is middle of nowhere, eastern Oregon, high mm-hmm. desert, deep mountains, deep canyons. It's 90% private property.
Oh, wow.
So there's not a whole, I mean, there's only like 1,700 full-time residents
oh.
in the whole county. And it's just a logging and ranching community.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a perfect place to be a deputy. I mean, you didn't have a whole lot of action. I didn't have to worry about a whole lot of drug dealers and problems like that.
Sure.
Our biggest problems were poachers and oh. trespassers, you know, and people even hunting horns. You know, they'd drop off on one road. Some of these ranches are 150,000 acres.
Oh, geez.
And you could literally get dropped off on one road, and they trespass and do horn hunting all the way through the ranch to the next road. You know, so that was my biggest concern, was out catching trespassers and poachers and cattle rustlers and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I was patrolling one night, and I'd come across Waterman Road and headed back down towards Spray, Oregon, and mountain lion. I saw a mountain lion run across the road right in front of me, and that doesn't happen all the time. You know, usually they stay off the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I got out and I got my flashlight, and Wheeler County had a lot of cougar problems. So we actually had a county trapper that was assigned to take care of mountain lions, and he had a quota of certain mountain lions that he had to get, or was supposed to get for the county.
Oh, okay.
So I'm out and I'm looking for this mountain lion, and this mountain lion's in the bar ditch, and I got my .45 out. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I wasn't necessarily going to shoot the cat, but this cat would jump. It would go from one side of the bar ditch to the other side of the bar ditch faster, I mean, in a split second.
Wow.
I had my wife on the phone. I was actually talking to my wife on my Bluetooth on my ear when the cat ran in front of me. And she's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, it's a great big mountain lion. Just ran in front of me." And so I got out, and she goes, "Well, Michael, get back in the damn truck. What are you going to do with that mountain lion?" I says, "Well, I got to see." So I got my .45 and my light underneath my .45. I'm looking back and forth, but I'd see the eyes, and it'd look out behind the tree. And then all of a sudden, I'd hear something over here. It'd go behind the tree, and it was to the left of me, 20 feet behind another tree.
Oh, wow.
And but I know it was a mountain lion. I swear to goodness, it was a mountain lion. So
oh,
I said, "Well, all right, I'm done with this cat." I got back in the truck and took off down the road, and I get almost to Spray, and another mountain lion ran across the road in front of me, a little bit smaller.
Oh, geez.
I thought, "Well, that's weird. I do not see that. You know, I don't see mountain lions every night crossing the road in front of me. Once in a, you know, a normal person will see a mountain lion maybe 2-3 times in their lifetime."
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's no big deal. The second mountain lion goes by. I go through Spray, do my patrols, head on back down 19. And there's a road that I turned up. We lived in a place called Winlock.
Okay.
And it was way up between Mitchell and Spray. And I drove that road a million times, and right now it's just blanking me. I cannot remember the name of that road.
Mm.
But I turned up that road, and I was headed home. And I come around the corner, and it was probably 25, 30 miles an hour, you know, around these corners. And I come around the corner, and there's a freaking mountain lion laying right in the middle of the pavement, and he's licking his haunches. And he just kind of looks up at me, and I stop. I stop in the middle of the road. I got my headlights shining on this thing, and I got one of those remote control magnetic spotlights up on top of the truck. And I turned it on, and I'm shining at him. I'm like, this guy is in no hurry to get up and get out of the middle of the road. And he finally gets up and kind of meanders off the road, not excited at all.
Wow.
I thought, man, that is weird. Three mountain lions in one night, one laying in the road. I'd never seen one doing that before, you know?
Right.
And I got going up, and I probably got a couple miles up the road, and I come around the corner. And, I mean, if you're driving down the road, anybody can do it. You drive down the road, and a rabbit jumps out in front of you, take your foot off the gas pedal.
Sure.
You know, or a squirrel or a dog or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I come around the corner, and I instantly took my foot off the gas pedal, and in front of me, standing about 7 to 8 feet tall, and sorry, I get a little bit weirded out every time I tell this, even if it's to my wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was 7 to 8 feet tall, and at first glance, at first look, I thought it was. My first impression was the Grim Reaper.
Oh, Jesus!
Without carrying anything, just a person standing there, and it was actually kind of moving. Now that after I thought back about it, it was going along the road, and it was defined. I mean, you had shoulders, head, and everything. But the minute I saw it, the hair stood up. I got freaked out. And I hit the gas and I left. I just had to haul ass home. And
I don't blame you.
I mean, it was just off the fog line, just on the edge of the sand, you know, just into the into the rocks, you know. I'd hauled ass home, and I kind of quit thinking about it. And the more I think back, and I'm like, was that Sasquatch? What was that? You know, and
sure.
I still to this day don't know for sure exactly what I saw.
Wow.
You know, alongside the road there. But it still affects me to this day. I don't know. Have you ever had any reports, anybody seeing something like that?
Well, I mean, we certainly hear quite a bit of different sightings, but just meandering on the side of the road, it's pretty rare, although it's surprising how unintimidated they seem. You know, like sometimes they could just care less that anybody's looking at them. They might get a sideways glance, and they'll just kind of mosey through like, I'm just on my way, like no worries. But other times they seem incredibly skittish. So it's hard to understand the behavior, but sure. I mean, we hear all kinds of those kind of different reports.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, and looking back and thinking back, I'm like, you know, I spotted that thing and saw it and hit the gas and got out of there so fast that it's like, you know, I heard you say last night after I was off the phone that, you know, these guys are, you know, pretty detailed witness. They're not supposed to be able to give a good description. I'm telling you, that blew me away. I mean,
was it?
And the more I look back and think, I think, man, it did have hair. I think it was a Sasquatch, you know, and I don't know It's just one of those things that I can't explain, and it happened so fast and so, you know, crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, but was it really broad or was it tall and narrow? I mean,
it was really broad. I mean, it was probably 5 feet at the shoulders.
Oh, Jesus.
It was 7 to 8 feet tall.
That's
and it was, and it had, I mean, it had shoulder, it had head, and I don't know why. I guess maybe when I saw it and slowed down, maybe I just was trying to identify the top half of it.
Right.
I don't know, but I just remember that seeing it was enough to the heck with this, and I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I don't blame you,
you know,
because you don't know. You don't know what their intentions are at all. They could be in a really good...
I'm a Marine. I'm a former logger. I'm a deputy sheriff. I'm a tough son of a gun, I thought. That thing scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, but you know? When you see something like that, it's so far out of our paradigm. We're just not never prepared to see something that big, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
That kind of thing, and I'm going to do a little shout out to Steve Isdahl over there at howtohunt.com. I've been listening to him for the last couple months, and I don't know if it's because I'm working this different shift and things are different, or if I had this 545 experience or if it's like I told you earlier when we were talking, the rocks coming in the cage at me on the cat.
Yeah.
I was telling you that story about the cat. This is a D5H with an enclosed cab. I accidentally ripped the door off. Oh, I don't know when it first started for the boss digging bar ditches. So the only place these rocks had to come in was a 2-foot by 4-foot hole.
Wow. Now, if you would, since you mentioned it, why don't you explain that story for the listeners so they understand the context?
Well, okay. So, you know, after being a deputy and everything else, and I told you I'd ran for sheriff and I lost the election and everything else. And so now I'm a logger, back to logging because it's what I know.
Sure.
I'm up here in Northern California logging, and in the redwoods, I don't know anything about logging redwoods. I'd always log pine and everything else. So this is kind of a whole new world up here to me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I worked landing. I was a loader operator on landing. I loaded the log trucks. I ran the landing, tossed the logs. As the skidders brought them in, I'd clean them up and deck them and then load the log trucks. And I start out at 4 a.m. loading trucks and then work all day. And anyway, that all kind of got to the end of the harvest plan, and so we were only running one side, and it was like, okay, Mike, you go down and you start time to start piling brush and get let's close out for the season. This has just been a month ago, you know. So they put me on piling brush. I got done piling brush. That took quite a while, and then they said, all right, go, we got a water bar, so start it, you know, landing one, work all your way back to where the guys are working and just water bar every trail, get everything water bar. So I was just out there all by myself. I had my own crummy and my own machine. And those guys are, you know, quite a ways away. We're all on a private ranch. Private properties. But I'm working all by myself. So I'm cruising along and for 4 days, it didn't happen every single day, but like every other day for about a week towards the end of my water barring and road clearing and getting everything done that I needed to do to close up for the season, I was running a D5H, and I did exactly what the bull buck told me not to do, and do not run with the door open. You know, I'm used to an old D6 or D5s with open cages, and glass just drives me crazy. I'd rather suck dust and not have glare in my eyes, you know?
Sure.
But anyway, so I had this, the driver's side, for lack of better words, open on the 5, and I caught this leaning fir tree, and it ripped the damn door off.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I called the boss immediately. Hey, I ripped the door off the 5. I got my ass chewed. We're doing exactly what I was told not to do. You know, I'm 47 years old, ex-cop. I know what not to do. And here I am getting my ass chewed because I'm an idiot. You know? So, okay. Anyway, later on, I'm cruising down the road, and all of a sudden, I'm just water barring, cleaning. I start cutting my next water bar, and a freaking rock comes in that 2-foot by 4-foot hole in that D5 and hits me right in the chest. Not hard. I mean, not hard at all, but it was like, what? I flipped something up on the track.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep on working. Another rock comes in, hits me. I'm like, oh, it's weird. I wish I had my door on, you know? And so the next day I'm working on further down the road, down the trail, water barn, and another rock comes in, and I wasn't digging. I wasn't cutting. I was just slowly going down the road, trying to figure, look in the trail where a good spot for the next water bar is going to be, you know, to divert any water running down.
Mm-hmm.
Another rock comes in and hits me. This one's a little bit bigger, and it didn't really hurt. It didn't hurt, you know, but it just hit me again. I'm like, man, this is weird. Well, finally, the last time, I was just about done water barring, and I was getting closer to the guys, and another rock hit me, but this time I wear an orange vest.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, and I have a radio and I have my cell phone with my earbuds in and everything else while I'm working. And I got a logging tape and a whistle and everything with me. And anyway, this rock comes in and hits my radio and bounces over the top and goes in my pocket.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? And I reach in and this rock is perfectly round. Like somebody has just been sitting there in their hand, rolling it around and round and round and round and round.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's like a marble. It's like a golf ball marble.
Oh, that's cool.
And I saved it. Yeah, and I saved it, and I got it here. I live in logging camp 6 days a week in a camp trailer, and then I go home for 23 hours a day and come back. But anyway, I saved that rock, and I got it in here. That kind of an experience and everything else, and with the angel story, and then with me following the Sasquatch and trying to listen to all the different accounts, I've probably, over the last 2 months, I've probably listened to over 1,000 accounts between you and
Wes,
Sasquatch Chronicles, yeah, and Steve, and then that Dixie Crypt, he's pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning more and finding more, and I'm learning about MK Davis, and I'm Thinker Thunker, and
yeah,
you know, I'm so obsessed with this now. It's absolutely ridiculous. I even come home to the trailer in the morning. I get off at 5. I come to the trailer, usually get to bed by 6, but I turn on one of you guys and I start listening to accounts as I go to sleep. And it's a ridiculous obsession I have.
Yeah, but you know, I can't blame you. I'm even though I do a show, I'm always listening to other people's shows as well because I'm fascinated by all of this, and I think it's really incredible stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've had all kinds of encounters. I've forgotten more things than I remember. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, you go throughout your life and you're getting married, you're getting divorced, you're having this job, you're having that job, you're worrying about paying bills and raising kids, and this stupid thing happens out in the woods, or this happens, and it's something that you totally forget about,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then, you know, now I'm at the point in my life where I'm starting to remember a lot of these things that happened, and I'd forgotten all about, I didn't even tell you, my UFO encounter.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and
love to hear
like,
all of it.
I was talking, and before I tell you about that,
mm-hmm.
I was talking to my dad the other day, and I said, hey, Dad, I called him, and because I wanted to know if my grandpa had ever told him about the Sasquatch. And he said, no, because the way I put it to him, hey, if I said Sasquatch to you, what would you say about that? And he says, well, what do you mean? And I said, okay, that's Grandpa right. Kirby, or my grandpa, he told me a story about this. And he goes, oh, no, he didn't tell. I tell you what, though, I believe in UFOs. And I said, oh, gosh, you got to tell me. So he told me about his UFO story. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's funny because Grandpa, my dad, me, I haven't asked my brother yet. And to be honest with you, my brother is the epitome of a cop. He is a perfect, he probably would never tell me anything.
Oh.
Sure. You know, but it's just funny how, I mean, we all have these different experiences, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think certain people have experiences because of who they are. Does that make sense?
I do. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that, you know, to have these experiences, I think part of it is it requires an openness to a degree for the possibility. And I think everybody experiences weird stuff all the time. I think that most often we just chalk it up as being, you know, maybe forgetful, maybe just remembering something wrong or seeing things and not trusting what you saw and just dismissing it. But
yeah,
but I think an openness yeah. is part of the thing. And of course, some people just aren't very open.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. You know, like deja vu mm-hmm. or dreams, you know, I have deja vu on a daily basis. It's just weird. <You
know? laughs> Well, that's kind of cool, actually. Yeah. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
Just a lot of crazy stuff out there. Do you want me to tell you about my UFO experience?
I'd love to hear about it. Yeah, absolutely. Anything you want to talk about, we'd love to hear. So,
well, so I was probably 12, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And in Tumalo, Oregon, most of my relatives, and they're all ranchers and dairymen, you know, and loggers mm-hmm. out of Central Oregon. And when I was probably 12, 13, I was at a branding with all my cousins. And that's the first time I ever tried Copenhagen snuff.
Okay.
And so I wanted to be cool like all my cousins and all the grown-ups. And I was chewing dipping snuff all day long and being cool and hiding behind everybody and throwing my dip out and puking a little bit here and there. But anyway... But down in Tumalo, at the end of the branding, at the end of the day, I was camping out with my cousin, and I stayed at his place, and we stayed out in the camp trailer, out in the gravel pit, out behind his folks' place.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that Copenhagen was killing me, you know. And this Copenhagen really doesn't have anything to do with the story, but it's kind of a funny part, anyhow. So, anyhow. All day long, I chewed this Copenhagen, and that night, we were camping out, and he was giving me a hard time, and here, take one last chew, and I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, and I took another chew, and I immediately, and I'm going to probably get myself in trouble here, but we were drinking beer and hiding out there, you know, and everything
else. Oh, sure,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, we weren't drunk, but we were being teenagers, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, I got up to go spit my chew out the door of the camp trailer, and as I was getting up, the gravel pit lit up.
Ooh.
Like somebody shot a light right into the center of the gravel pit, and it was just a brilliant blue white light.
Oh, wow.
And it was glowing in from the camp trailer windows. And I said, Kevin, what the hell is that? He goes, I don't know, it's got to be a helicopter. That's weird. So he got up, and I had my chew in my finger out of my mouth getting ready to open the door. And we opened the door, and the light was just as quick as it was there. And the best way for me to describe it to you is it was basically a glowing light in the middle of the gravel pit. And then it shot up and to the right, out into the sky, just like a bullet. It was almost like you couldn't see it, but you could.
Oh, man.
You know, you could see it, but you couldn't see it leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amazing. Minute we opened that trailer door.
Wow.
That was it.
That was really intense. You know that's not just a helicopter or an airplane at that point, then.
No, I don't think we ever even told anybody.
Wow.
We just kind of chopped that up as one of them goofy things, you know. I don't know. I don't remember ever telling anybody about it.
Well, no, like I was telling you before, I mean, I've seen a craft myself, and it, you know, it was an incredible experience, and I have to admit that after it happened, I was really hesitant about sharing it myself, and this is before I had a show by several years, but it's one of those things that you have to wonder, do you want to be that guy? But I was like, you know what, I'm not embarrassed about it. It happened. And
you
know, what can you do? I mean, I didn't ask for it, but
exactly,
it happened. So
exactly, yeah. And I guess, you know, when you're, I don't know, I guess it's anybody. You don't have to be a cop. You don't have to be a former Marine or a big tough logger or anybody else. You know, everybody sees something they can't explain and they don't want to tell anybody and they don't want to share it because they're worried about the criticism they're going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I like Steve so much over there at howtohunt.com, because he says it how it is. And it's like, you know what? This stuff's happening. Yeah. People need to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you just need to quit hiding. I mean, it's bullcrap.
It is. And by not talking about it, you're really letting other people control the narrative, and that's not right either. So I like what Steve's saying and how he's representing it, because he's right. I mean, you can't just, there's no reason this stuff should be kept quiet. It should be shared. And, you know, it helps people that have experienced it as well to just go, you know what, it's not just me. There's all these other people. Yeah. I feel better now. I'm not alone. And I think in the paranormal, historically, people feel isolated. They feel like this is only me. Nobody's going to understand this. But once you start just talking, other people start talking too, and then you're not alone. And you can, you know, have that encouragement and that support.
Well, absolutely. I mean, to be honest with you, I am so glad that I called the show last night on a whim.
Yeah, me too.
And I made contact with you. I feel better already today, you know, just kind of getting this stuff off my chest. You know, you tell your close friends and you tell your spouses and you tell the people that love you. And, and you never really know if they actually believe you or not.
Right.
You know, but at least it's good to get it off your chest. And now that, you know, I kind of feel like I've opened up to an open forum now. And you just feel better about it.
Yeah, it's a real healing thing, I think. And I hear that a lot from people, and that makes me really proud to have a platform much like, you know, Wes's show and several other shows that are out there where people can, you know, have that experience, and it really is therapeutic.
Yeah, no, I absolutely believe that.
Yep.
You know, and there's people out there that, you know, there's so many fakes out there.
Yeah.
People are watching these guys on TV, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they're saying they know what it is. It's like, sure. Come on.
Yeah.
You don't know what Sasquatch is. You don't know anything.
Yeah.
One of these days, I will tell you, though, and there's one thing I guarantee everybody out there, we're going to know it one day what all this stuff is.
Yeah, I think so, too. I really do. And I think that you're right. Nobody does know. There's a lot of people claiming that they have the inside track on this and have it all figured out. But it's kind of like Wes says on Sasquatch Chronicles. He's like, unless you got one in your garage that you're studying, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah, for sure. I think anybody out there listening to Scott Carpenter, I think he's got some good information out there, you know, to pay attention to. I don't know. There's so many good, reliable people out there. And then there's so many quacks out there.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to decipher what to pay attention to. And I guess what I'd say to anybody is pay attention to all of it and filter out the stuff that is obvious bullcrap.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of people, like you say, out there trying to do good things and to, you know, bring a lot of knowledge out to the surface. And you're right. There's a lot of people that are also trying to cash in. And you know, there's nothing wrong with making a living doing what you love. But I think that when that supersedes the information and when that becomes, you know, the whole motivation, then maybe you're not doing the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I tell you, if I was independently wealthy, and I could do it, you know, I would, it sounds goofy. I was thinking about it. How could you help some of these people that are having problems? There's a Colorado, big game guide over there in Southern Colorado that's having a problem with these things. Mm-hmm. And it's taking his grain. It's scaring off his paid hunters. It's beating the house. It's ruining the garden. It's taking all the chickens. It's completely upsetting this guy's life after 25, 30 years of the same thing. Everything's been normal. And then all of a sudden these things move in. And I listen to this guy's story, and he is honest to God telling the truth.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, if I was independently wealthy, I would get as many, as much as I could, no cameras, mm-hmm. no nothing. Let's just go up there and handle this situation for this fella and find an alternative, you know, way of dealing with this other than killing and other than, you know, but we've got to band together, and there's got to be a way that people can get together and help individuals out there that are having severe problems with these things, because it's not, I mean, there's not an outfit out there that's going to do this.
Right.
And that isn't going to want to profit from it. That isn't going to want to put it on TV. That isn't going to want to, mm-hmm. you know, get something somehow out of it.
Right. No, I think you're right.
I just kind of went off on a way tangent there.
No, that's fine, because that's part of the discussion too, you know. I mean, it's, of course, the experiences are wonderful and stuff, but also I like to hear what people think about these things. It's not just a collection of anecdotes. It's also a discussion, a dialogue, and I like that part
absolutely.
Of the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I
like that too. I mean, I like being able to go onto YouTube and see other people's experiences, and it only validates my experience and makes me feel better that I'm not freaking crazy. You know?
Yeah. I agree that there are like for instance, the Confessionals, Sasquatch Chronicles and several other shows. There's hundreds and hundreds of episodes of material where people are coming on and sharing these things. And if you've had an experience, and I'm speaking generally to the audience, if you do spend some time listening to these shows, you're going to find that somebody else has experienced something similar to what you have. And that can be, you know, really, really powerful, because as I said before, it's such an isolating feeling to have this amazing things happen, but you don't dare tell anybody because of the ramifications.
Right.
So,
Yeah. And I have to agree with, I heard actually an interview this morning, probably about 3 o'clock this morning, feeding that damn biochar machine. I heard a Mississippi State Patrolman come on there, and the way he told his story in his soft voice,
mm-hmm.
and you could hear almost him tremoring in him talking.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell that man is telling the honest to God truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's just like when I messaged you, I told you who I worked for and everything else. And that way, maybe you could do a little research, say, okay, this guy was really a cop and everything else. And I hope that these other guys out here doing these shows are kind of doing a little research on their guests to make sure that if they say they're a cop, they're a cop, you know?
Right.
They aren't out here just telling a BS story, you know?
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And I admire that. But I don't know. I think if somebody's going to spend the time and call into the show, I mean, even if they, you know, scrub diapers for a living, you know what, that part doesn't matter because.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think a lot of the people out there listening will take law enforcement or park rangers or, you know, Forest Service people to be more legitimate. And those guys could be just as full of crap as anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, they can be, but I do, as I was saying on the show last night, when you called in after the call, it's like, I do like the opportunity to talk with, law enforcement people or former law enforcement, because I think you guys have seen a lot of garbage and you've seen a lot of things that would turn most men to jelly. I have a cousin who's a deputy sheriff, out in Michigan. And he tells me, we talk about, you know, the things that he's experiencing. And I'm always absolutely amazed by when he's telling me it's just another day at work. And that to me is just amazing, because if I saw half those things, hell, I'd need therapy for a while, you know, and to him, it's Monday, you know, that's Monday to him.
Well, There was an incident where somebody had, I'd served papers on this individual, and it wasn't, you know, any big deal. And I get 5 minutes down the road and get a call back to the same address for a suicide.
Oh, no.
I turn around, all butt back down there, and the person killed himself over this.
Wow.
Really? You know? So here I am. And you know all these people from growing up in this community.
Sure.
And I walk, I get out of my cruiser, and I'm bawling.
Yeah.
I am bawling and hugging his wife and just bawling. And it's just like, okay, there's another one. You know, it's just all the time.
Well, my hat's off to you, brother.
You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And my hat's off to you, because I know that none of that can be easy, both what you've experienced, my cousin, and you know, countless other people that are working and in these first responder positions. It's not an easy place to be. You're the guys that got to go in and deal with the stuff nobody else wants to. And so, you know, my hat's off to all of you guys, and, you know, as well as, you know, EMTs and firefighters and anybody else that works in that capacity.
We all work together. We're a team, you know, and that's the search and rescue, volunteer firemen, everybody, EMTs. We're all out there to serve. That's something that I've always wanted to do. I've always either been a volunteer fireman or a reserve cop or search and rescue all my life, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So it's something, you know, like we had a fellow logger one time. We had a logger. I got to respond to an NVA up on Highway 26.
What's an NVA?
It's rollover, motor vehicle accident.
Oh, okay.
Rollover NVA on Highway 26. It must have been about 11 o'clock at night. And we get up there, and it's a logging crummy, you can tell. And he's gone up on the cut bank, and he's flipped over, and he smashed the top. And I look down, and there's a dog. And he had his dog in the back of the truck. And I couldn't believe it. And, but anyway, the dog was okay. And so we're trying to pry the door open, and we're trying to get the deceased individual out. We got him I got him pulled out to the passenger side, and he was face down. I got him rolled over, and when he did, his head cocked back, and there was a bullet hole under his chin.
Oh, man.
Oh. And the guy had shot himself driving down the highway.
Oh, wow.
On the highway where my kids go to town, where the school bus goes. I mean, this community is only basically two ways in, two ways out on the same highway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just total... reckless irregard for anybody else. You know, that's just a story that, I don't know, just drives me crazy thinking about things like that.
That's got to be a lot to carry, but, you know, on the same note, that's why I love interviewing guys like you, because you're not liable to I heard a researcher call it an adrenalized state, and I like that term, because, you know, when you're in that heightened sense, in that heightened situation, that through your training, you're able to still, you know, grab the facts with credibility, or at least more so than the normal person would probably be able to. So it does lend a lot of credibility to all these subjects, you know, when you say, this is what I saw on the side of the road, and you know, I'm going to believe you.
For sure.
But no, it's incredible. And was there anything more that you wanted to cover on the show today?
Well, I think that's about it. I'm going to continue on with my little Sasquatch research here on my own in Northern California. I'm thinking about, I have a little YouTube channel. It's no big deal. I'm just going to start throwing things on there as I find them, if I find them. Mm-hmm. I did notice driving home here a while back along the river, I thought I saw a stack of rocks. So I'm going to go check that out.
Oh, very cool. And, you know, if you ever get the pebbles thrown at you again, or if you ever have an experience like that again, it would be kind of interesting to, you know, to hear if you're able to find any prints or tracks in the area where those come from, you know, where they would have been thrown from, just to see if you might find something over there, because, you know, I don't know what the soil is like. But
That's funny you said that, because the last time when that rock landed in my pocket, I stopped the cat and I put the blade down and I got out and I stood on the track. And I was going to get off and go walking around, and I got back in that cat, and I went back to work. I did not want to get any further than that cat track for some reason. I just did not want to get off. And, you know, I thought I was a big, tough guy, but I don't know, not anymore.
Well, you know, these things they're on a whole different level than we are, and so I don't blame you one bit. But, you know, I mean, just on a different day. So just pay attention to where that was, and then on a different day, go and check.
Yeah, 10-4, I will. Hey, I'll, on Messenger there where I contacted you, I'll take a picture of this rock. I've got it right here and just send it to you. I think you'll think it's kind of cool.
Oh, that'd be cool. Thank you. I'd appreciate seeing that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, okay.
But, Mike.
Well, it sure has been good talking to you. Thank you very much for the opportunity and letting me. I kind of went off on different tangents and kind of was all over the board. But
no, it's cool.
This is my first time ever talking to anybody like this, so thanks.
You did great, brother, and I really, really appreciate your time and your willingness to come on and talk about these things, because I know our listeners are going to love it. So I really appreciate it, brother.
Okay, buddy. All right. Well, I'll keep in touch with you.
Okay. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.